Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Beyond Theories. I'm your host, Don McNeil, and I'm here with Aaron White.
How's everyone doing?
I'd like to thank you for coming back for another weekly episode. And this one is brought to us by one of our listeners, Shane. We'd like to thank him for his contribution and selection of this case. And this one is a good one, guys. It's one of my favorites, and it's going to leave you guys full of suspense and full of wonder what happened. So get your true crime hats on, because this is a good one. All right, guys, this case is on Brian Schaefer. Brian Schaefer was a medical student at Ohio State University. Now, on the night of March 31st, 2006, Schaefer and his best friend Clint Florence decided to go out to celebrate with a couple of friends at the beginning of spring break. So they decided to go to a bar called the Ugly Tuna. And later that night, while they're at the bar, Brian got separated from his friends. And after a while, they assumed that he went home because they couldn't find him anywhere at the bar. However, a security camera near the entrance picked him up briefly talking to two women just before about 2 a.m. on April 1st, and then apparently re-entering the bar. Once his friends decided to leave the bar for that evening, they realized that Brian still wasn't there, and again, they figured he was at home. And a couple of days later, they never heard from him. They tried to reach out to him. No one could get a hold of him. And since that night, no one's ever heard of where he's went or where he's at. And this disappearance has been briefly puzzling for these investigators because there was no other public accessibility to get in this particular bar. So they have footage of him going in the bar, but no footage leaving the bar, which is really bizarre. What do you think, Aaron?
I think that is absolutely crazy, especially now that we're living in the age of surveillance and there's cameras almost everywhere. To enter a place and be seen on camera entering it but never to be seen leaving it. Oh wow.
Yeah, it's something I can't even think about or fathom, because how do you go into a place with a bunch of people in here and not one person sees this guy leave? It's just unbelievable.
Or can account for him towards the end, like to say, oh, I saw him, I left, and I saw him, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I left a little before dawn, you know what I mean? Like, but I still saw you. I could still say to the officer or whoever's asking, yeah, I saw him, I left around this time, and when I left, I saw him standing there.
Right. Or I saw him, you know, speaking to so-and-so, and I saw them, you know, with them.
Yeah, he was by the bar trying to get one last drink. Anything, you know what I mean?
But when they talked to these people at the bar, not one person saw where this guy went.
Nope.
Unbelievable. Nope. Now, I know they try to talk to his friend Clint, and Clint, they asked him to do a polygram, and he declined. And then he lawyered up, which to me seems kind of weird. But then again, you know, taking a polygraph test is really admissible in court. You really have to take it. Some people suggest not to take it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can look at it two different ways. You can look at it that maybe he had something to do with it. You can maybe look at it that he didn't want to take it because he didn't want the cops to try to frame him. Don't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that same idea got brought up during when we did the Moore Murray case about polygraph tests. Why people would want to, why they wouldn't want to, why would you allow someone to search anything of yours, even if you're innocent, you know, like, do you trust law enforcement that they're not going to plant anything? How much can you really even trust? You know, so I guess, you know, it's America, he has the right to decline, and obviously he did, so.
And the other thing, too, about this, is which was weird, is they try to call him. I forget who tried to call him, but they tried
his girlfriend.
It was his girlfriend.
Yeah, she called him every day.
Call him every day. And one day, when she did call him, his phone rang three times. So before that, it went straight to voicemail. But this particular time, when she called, it rang three times, which she thought was kind of interesting. Oh. But according to the research, when she told the police, And the police went to the cell phone provider, and
Singular, was it?
Mm-hmm. And they said, Singular said it was a glitch. That's why it rang three times. Mm-hmm. It did ping about 14 miles away from where Brad lived. But I didn't find out that if the cops even searched 14 miles away or not. I think they just chalked it up as it was a glitch, mm-hmm. and he didn't even bother to go investigate. So to me, it's kind of weird. I mean, I would want them to investigate. If something pinned 14 miles away, at least you have a radius, and maybe his body is there. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's a lead. His body could be there. Maybe his phone is there. Maybe there's some kind of evidence that he's there, but they just didn't act upon it.
Yeah, not to my knowledge, no. And also, there was an unknown person in Mexico that resembled Brian. But after the FBI investigation and face analysis, they determined that it wasn't him. Now, me personally, I'd rather someone go physically look at this man, speak to this man, as opposed to using photos being sent and stuff like that. And using old photos for Brian, because obviously it's been, 14 years in April?
Yep, 14 years.
So, you know.
And how good is the camera down there, too?
Exactly. We don't know.
Right? I mean, the camera could be fuzzy enough where you think it might not be him.
Yeah.
But then, when you, like you said, if you go down and actually get the guy,
yeah.
and you're face-to-face with him, maybe.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, he could have been through a lot in 14 years.
Which is true.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I know he's gone through a lot. They said that prior to the disappearance, his mother passed away and he was very close to her. Mm-hmm. So he was going through, that kind of trauma. I know, according to the research, when one of his friends got with him, they said he seemed very disheveled and tired and distraught. So, I mean, you know, that has a lot of factor into maybe what happened. But, you know, there's just so many different kinds of theories out there, which is why we're doing this case. Because, I mean, it's just really interesting. Now, speaking of theories, we're going to get to them momentarily after this break. So, hang on tight. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we'll get into our theories here. So I'm going to tip it off to you, Aaron. What theory did you find the most that you liked out there? Give it a shot.
All right, so the theory that I came across was from Reddit user Hedgehog9393, and he posted this one back in November 2017. So Hedgehog believes that I'm going to read verbatim. Maybe he never left the bar. The place was under construction. Speaking of the place that was adjacent to the bar. There was construction going on. So he says the place was under construction in certain areas, if I remember correctly. Maybe he fell down an uncovered shaft. Nobody realized, and it was sealed a few days later in continuation of the construction. This isn't my own theory. I remember reading it somewhere recently. So that actually, this is not Hedgehog's theory, but I'm reading it from Hedgehog. So I don't know who initialized this theory, but you know, if you're listening, please let us know. That way, we can give you credit for this. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And what do you think about that theory?
Yeah, it's a possible theory. I mean, I know there was construction going on there. Very well could be. I know the door, from what I read, that to the construction area, there wasn't any cameras there.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a possibility it could have went out that way. It's a tough one. I mean, what do you think?
Me personally, with that theory, I do like it. You know, if it's apparently, allegedly, from reports from the friend, Clint, and the girl that they were with, prior to them going separate ways and losing Brian, is that they were pounding down some shots.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was definitely inebriated that evening. So it's definitely possible that he could have stumbled off drunkenly and fell. I've been drunk and fell before.
Right.
You know, so, you know, and if you're in a construction site, you're surrounded by a whole bunch of dangerous things.
Yeah, and you're not thinking very well, too. I mean, when you have a couple in you, you know, a lot of times your judgment's not the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he could have well went to the bathroom, saw a door, and said, oh, what's this door?
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah, or he could have went to the construction site.
To check it out.
And went to the bathroom.
Or, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's true. Bathroom could have been busy, and he couldn't hold it.
The bathroom. Yeah. You know,
that's
whatever.
True.
You know,
that's true.
Saw somebody else come from back there, and there's, oh, let me go over there.
It's true.
And that definitely could have happened. So... That's where I leave it. Obviously, that's not my own theory. We'll get to that one later.
Right.
But that's just one that I read that, you know, I do think there's some credence to.
Yeah, I like that one. There's one I'm going to tell you that I found, and you can tell me what you think about it. So this theory was that, that Brian actually ran away and that is still alive right now.
Wow.
Yeah, which to me I thought was pretty interesting. And what they kind of said was, you know, prior up to him going out with his friends for spring break, we discussed before his mom passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, so that he was very close with her, so that was kind of making him a little distraught. You know, he was in medical school, so the stress of medical school was getting to him. Mm-hmm. And then his relationship with his girlfriend, they were talking about marriage, and they thought that maybe that, you know, he was getting cold feet with the marriage. And so all the stressors, you know, onto him was, you know, kind of getting to him. And then they said that one of his dreams, believe it or not, was to join a band and live by the beach. You know, so, you know, they're thinking, they put all these together, this theorist was thinking, and that he thought maybe he ran away to start a new life to live, you know, like a beach bum on a band. Now they're saying, well, how can he have the money to do it, right? Well, you know, we don't know how much cash he could have had on him that night, number one. Number two, you know, he could have pawned the ring that he was going to give her to be engagement and had that money to use. Now, I know upon my research, listening to some other podcasts about this disappearance, they made a good point. Taking, you know, buses down there is not that expensive. It's, you know, like $50 to take a bus, get down to the beach. So, I mean, you know, there's possibilities of him running away like that. Now, his father did end up dying a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And so you would think that if he was alive, that he would, you know, kind of reach out to his about his father's death. Now, there was, his father had an obituary online, and there was something sent onto that saying, you know, I miss you, sum it up, I miss you, Dad, you know, and then Brad Schaefer, your son Brad. And when the cops saw, someone told the cops, and they researched it, and it came from a library that was, you know, a couple miles away. So they thought that it was just somebody, you know, cruelly doing a little joke, which I think is, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's really messed up.
That's messed up. But, so that's why theorists thought that, you know, he's in his new life now. But I don't know. I see the theory. I see where they're trying to go with it. But it was Dad dying, not coming back, not coming out. To me, that's a little weird. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely because the way his father died was a freak accident. In a thunderstorm, he went to go move some brush from in front of the house, and then the lightning struck the tree. The tree hit him, and then subsequently he died from that. So it's not like, oh, you know, my dad. And either way, I still don't, you know, think it's a good thing to do. But say, you know, he knew his dad was gonna die. Like, oh yeah, my dad, he has like a lingering ailment or something. You know, a freak accident, you don't plan that. So say he did plan to leave, your dad dying like that's very unplanned. You know what I mean? It's not like you could brace yourself for something like that.
Right. It would be a surprise. You would think you want to somehow reach back to them and try to get back to them.
Unless he didn't know. Because actually, now that I think about it, how widespread would coverage, if any, be on the death of his father? Although it was a freak accident, I don't see that getting national coverage. If he went to the beach and freaking California or Daytona, then why would the news circulate like that?
True.
So maybe he didn't know, you know. But
right, or if he went to Mexico or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. Maybe not knows any. Maybe he still thinks his dad's alive right now. Has no idea.
Yeah, I'll say this. I'm not really a fan of any of the disappearance cases where people theorize that the person is alive and they just wanted to get away. I haven't found one yet where I think that's. You know, like a reasonable explanation, because to just cut people out of your life like that, it's borderline sociopathic. You know what I mean? To just cut ties with people like that.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, so only way I could see that is if someone was, you know, they came up in a very, very rough environment. Maybe they were, you know, abused mentally, physically, emotionally, growing up and stuff like that, and they had a lot of resentment. Towards the people in their life, so they really could care less to cut them off.
Right.
But for Brian, it didn't appear like that. You know, he has a younger brother who's still with us, and then obviously he lost the mother and the father, but they definitely had a nuclear family. I'm not sure how big his immediate family goes, but you know, it seems like someone that had the rest of his life ahead of him.
Yeah, and if you look at it too, I mean, the guy was a medical student, right? You know what I'm saying? So he was doing great in his career. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a girlfriend who he liked a lot, mm-hmm. who was planning to get married. Mm-hmm. You know, so
they had a trip planned.
And they had a trip planned right a couple of days after this whole thing happened.
Yeah.
So if you look at all that, I mean, this guy, it didn't seem like this guy's had trouble. He seemed like his life was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
You know, and so for him to run off, that's why, you know, I like the theory a little bit, but then I don't like the theory a little bit because it just kind of, to me, is, yeah, could he run off? He could have, but, you know, I don't think so either. I think, you know, and again, I agree with you with the other missing cases with people running away. I just don't see people, a lot of people running away like that. At least not contacting somebody. Either it's a friend.
Yeah.
If they don't want, you know, if they don't want to contact their family, they're going to contact a friend or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to not contact anybody, you know?
Yeah, literally.
That's just, that's, yeah, I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, and also, like, I always think to myself, how do you just up and, is it that easy? Like, I could have sworn it's not that easy to get a new social security card and things like that and ID and change your name. But obviously, you have to change your name.
Yeah, but, and then to do that and then have no friends at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you're literally by yourself. Like, it's just, you know what I mean?
No one asks questions about Mr. that just blew in out of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, where are you from? Oh, I'm from, yeah. That person would be, every day of that person's life, and if Brian's doing this, then every day of Brian's life, obviously that's not his name anymore, if he still is alive and he's choosing to remain hidden, then he's lying every single day of his life. If you were really trying to escape, would you escape into a lie? Like, isn't it hard?
And once you get tired of lying all the time?
Every day of your life.
Yeah,
I guess it happens, though. There's stories of people that lied about who they are.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And then they had a family, and then the woman or the wife finds out somehow that, hey, you're not who you said you were all these years.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, people do live double lives. I mean, I've definitely seen that. So, I mean, it is a possibility on it. But eventually, it comes back and comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, but if you look at these cases, it's 15, 16 years, 14 years, and you heard nothing.
Yeah.
So if it was a double life, you would have heard something by now, I think. Yeah. You know what I mean?
By now.
Well, let's get to our theories now, since we read two theories we got online. So what is your theory that you think might happen to Brian?
All right. So my theory stems from how when the girlfriend will call Brian every day, hear his voice on a voicemail and stuff like that, and then one day it actually rang instead of going straight to voicemail, and then it pinged. Now I think that's a lead. Okay. I think that's a big lead.
Okay.
I know Singular Wireless at the time, they're no longer around. I'm pretty sure AT&T bought them out years ago. I used to have Singular, so that's how I'm pretty sure. But anyway, I digress. I do believe that phone pinging up there means something. That's where his body ultimately lays, who knows, or the phone. But, so my theory is, Brian got into a drunken scuffle with some employees that worked at the Ugly Tuna.
Yep.
And in said scuffle, I do believe that he fell awkwardly, probably, you know, hurt himself, maybe hit his head on something, began to seize. The party involved freaked out because, you know, oh my God, this guy dies. You know, the situation escalated very, very quickly. So them working there knew about, you know, that exit, took him out, took him to that area, 14 miles northwest or wherever it said, away from where the ugly tuna is. And then I assume they got rid of the body somehow. Maybe they buried him in a deep grave. Maybe in a shallow grave. In this case, they haven't used any canines at all in this case. So it's possible he could be in a shallow grave out there. We do know that the phone's never been found. But, you know, I think there's something there. You know, like a smoking gun kind of a thing.
So you think he got into a fight at this bar. Now, my question to you with that theory is, what did you think anybody would have saw a fight?
No, not if it happened. Again, like I said, it's possible that he went there, he was using the bathroom, you know, in that area. Maybe those guys, they work there, they're out there on a smoke break. Or maybe they're doing something back there, you know what I mean? Maybe they're doing blow back there. You know what I mean? If you work there and you know there's a spot where you could just go and chill, you know, 5 minutes disappear.
So you think a worker was involved? Like, not a fight with another person, but you think a fight with a worker?
Yeah, I think someone that would definitely be privy to knowing about that work site, because if it was just Joe Schmo from the bar, how would Joe Schmo from the bar know how to navigate from where they were all the way down and out? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I do think it's someone that was definitely privy, which would be more than likely someone that worked there, probably like a busboy, something like that. Who knows? So, you got to remember, this is a college town, college bar. Fights happen all the time.
So you have to, but in order for that to happen, these guys have to keep their mouth shut for a long time. You think that's possible with these people that work there? Because you know how it is, man. At work, people are always talking about people and telling them stories and this and that. You don't think that ever got out?
Honestly, dude, if I watched you murder somebody and I didn't say anything, and then I kind of was the accomplice, you can't go back in time. The only thing that you could do by coming forward years later is get that off your conscience. But if you don't have a conscience, then I don't see anyone like that having a problem with not coming forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Because think about it. If once you say this is what happened, you're going to jail. Maybe not as long as the person who actually did it, but you're going to jail. Mm. So unless like that weighing on your conscience is that heavy, and it means more to you to get that off, then why would anyone tell on
themselves? And I guess too, I mean, the person, if I'm working with, say I'm working with that person, uh-huh. and I see it happen, that person could then threaten you and your family if you open your mouth. So maybe I could be that where he threatens, hey, if you open your mouth, this will happen to you next.
Or even if not, a lot of times they could just say that. You know how many times people say that? Right. Oh, I didn't do anything. Oh, because that's the first question. Why didn't you come up clean earlier? Oh, they threatened me. Is that true all the time? I mean, some cases, yes. In most cases, I doubt it. I think they probably just got very shook because, again, as I stated in my theory, I believe it escalated rather quickly. Like, say I see you fighting some guy, Don. Say, on your way out of here, some guy gets in a scuffle with you, and then it just escalates. You hit him. Right. Great. You knocked him out. He hits his head. He doesn't get up. He starts seizing and shaking. Whoa, that escalated very quickly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know, fight or flight. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna say, you might just try to be like, oh, I'm gonna get out of here and jet.
Right.
You know, you don't know until you're in those situations. I see, you know, true crime junkies, you know how it is. You see it all the time. Why didn't you do anything then?
Right, right. Well, I got a theory, if you like to hear it, that mm-hmm. I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So my theory of what I think happened to Brian is I think, you know, Brian was out there partying, having a good time and getting some drinks, taking shots. And I think my theory is that Brian, you know, probably had to use the restroom. And, you know, he's, you know, not thinking correctly because of all the drinks. Mm-hmm. So his judgment's a little lax. And I think he saw, another door and figured, well, what is that? Right? You know, being curious, opens it up, sees it's the construction area where they're doing the construction. I think he walked in. And again, not being, you know, not having the correct balance, you know, being drunk, you know, not thinking clearly. I think he fell into, there was a bunch of holes that they were digging in this construction area. I think he, you know, tripped or hit something or just lost his balance, fell into one of these holes and either passed out after he fell into the hole or hit his head and became unconscious in the hole. And then I think the next morning when these guys came in, the construction workers come in to fill the holes up with cement like they were supposed to do. You know, a lot of times construction workers, they're not going to look at the hole. They're just going to come in and go right to the job and do it. I think they went in and I think they, poured cement in those holes. And I think Brian got cemented underneath, all that concrete. And that's why no one's ever seen him. No one's ever heard him. And no one knows where he's gone. That's my theory. I think, you know, that happened. What's your take on that theory?
I think that theory is very, very, very plausible. My only thing is I've never worked construction, so I don't know if there's any procedures that you're supposed to follow. Like, hey, there's holes. Always check holes before you fill them. You know what I mean? But if there is, it doesn't mean that they necessarily check the hole either, though, because obviously there's procedures and a lot of things, and people don't follow procedure properly, and things happen. So with that being said, I think it's a pretty solid theory. But if I was the father or the family, I would have had, you know, it excavated, or at least to my best ability, you know, petition to have that, you know, dug up. I would have said, hey, between this day and this day, did you lay any cement? If so, I want to come it up. Because it's not like we could bring a dog in here. You know, if
it, well, they could get ground penetrating radar to see if there's any anomalies that are in there. And it's possible the cops could have done before they tore it up.
Yeah, but depending on how I don't know. I'm not.
I don't know how deep it is either.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with those tools or instruments. But yeah, if those holes are deep and he fell all the way down there, I don't know. You know, if you're a father, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a possibility, and knock on wood, obviously.
Yeah, knock on wood.
If there's a possibility that one of your children could be buried under cement, would you just settle for some tool?
Nah, man, I would try to do as I can. Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. So right. Which we don't know if maybe they did try. We don't know.
Yeah, we definitely don't know.
Maybe they tried and they said, no, we're not doing it. You know, it costs too much money. I'm sorry, not doing it.
But that is terrible.
But that would be, right, that would be terrible.
Yeah, because you're putting a price on human life, which is...
Right. You know, I mean, to me, even if I was an investigator, I want to search all my possibilities.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know, and really, you know, they say, you know, make no stone unturned.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I do that. And so, you know, I'm surprised they didn't do that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, I mean, to get out of that bar, I mean, it's only one entrance, you know, in and out. So to get out of that bar, it's either you had to go through the construction site,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, to get out, or, I mean, this dude's like freaking Houdini and pull some magic trick out of his butt to get out of there without being seen, which, you know, some people say, well, maybe he switched clothes with somebody and they didn't pick them up, you know, on the camera, or maybe he took someone's hat and put a hat on and...
I read that everyone that left was accounted for.
Yeah, me too.
So even
me
if he did switch clothes with somebody, he didn't leave with them.
No. And the big question, I mean, really, in this whole entire case, the biggest question is, how did he get out? How did he get out? Or is he out?
Yeah, right. It's possible he's definitely still in.
Now, I know for the listeners out there, they took this bar down. They tore it down. And they built another one, you know, away from where this original location was.
Mm-hmm.
So they did tear it down. From what I listened to and read and all that stuff, they didn't find anything when they tore it down.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, tells me that he's not in the bar. Yeah. Because they tore the bar down. Now, the construction next to it, don't know. But the bar, we can definitely say he was not in that bar because they tore it down and there was not... a body found or any kind of evidence found of him there. So,
yeah.
So obviously, that being said, he had to leave the bar somehow.
Yeah.
And that is a great mystery on this case, guys.
Yeah, this case is definitely a mystery, man. The more I talk about it, the more I'm just perplexed trying to put it together. But
so listen, guys, I'm telling you, go out, research this case more. You'll be surprised. It's a case, like I said, is how did he get out? That is the biggest question. So, we're happy you guys are with us this week. I really, really appreciate all the support. Again, please like, subscribe, share. Check out our Instagram page, BYD_theories. Send us your cases. Send us your theories on this case to BYDtheories@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you guys. Again, Shane, we appreciate you giving us this one. It's awesome. And again, guys, Aaron and I really thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We're trying to build this from the ground up, and we're really, you know, thank you for that, I reckon.
Thank you. Again, thank you. See you guys next week.
And guys, next week we have a great case, and this one's going to be on Heather Teague. That's another fantastic one, Aaron. It's going to leave you wanting more. So,
oh, yeah.
So definitely check out the Heather Teague disappearance, and, you know, send us your theories, like I said, to our email address. Again, that is bydtheories@gmail.com, or you can DM us on our Instagram page at BYD_theories. Again, Heather Teague will be next week, guys. Again, thank you so very much. We'll see you next week, guys, for another episode of Beyond Theories, man. Take care. Have a good one.